Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
Then I wrote, and this is the point I wanted to make to you, I wrote this right here. You see this writing? Supper at the Ulpan with a cantor for Shabbat. Then the last two words I put is quiet evening. At that very moment when I was writing quiet evening, terrorist speedboats were headed toward 2 miles from the spot where I lay sleeping. Terrorist speedboats. It could have been like, I didn't see the movie Jaws, but they tell me that when Jaws was in the water, they were going boom, 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 boom. Just as I wrote quiet evening, there was a boom, 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 boom. We had landed in Israel about 5 o'clock on Pentecost. And the evening of Pentecost, you know, with the Jews, they have the evening and the morning is the day. So Pentecost begins at sundown. Any day begins at sundown of one day and ends the next day. At about the time of the evening when the day was beginning, as our plane landed about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, a mothership from Libya, a terrorism, they had been planning this for more than a year. Terrorists were trained in Libya. They got on a freighter. They put 6 speedboats on a freighter. Did you hear about it? And those speedboats were loaded with Katyusha rockets, all kinds of military equipment and guns and everything to destroy lots and lots of cannons, lots and lots and lots of people. They took the 6 speedboats. They brought them on this mothership. We must have flown over the mothership. And just then, as we landed, exactly the time we landed, the speedboats came off the mothership. 6 of them. 2 of them sunk immediately. And the other 4, one thing and then another, happened. But finally, 2 of them headed toward the shore, where on the Feast of Pentecost, not all the Jews are exactly religious on the Feast of Pentecost. Many of them go to the beaches in Tel Aviv, thousands and thousands and thousands. And their plan was to have these terrorist speedboats come and make a Y past the Tel Aviv point. They were going to come in a Y shape, and they were going to go above Tel Aviv and below Tel Aviv. Then they were going to go along the shoreline, and they were going to kill all the people that they could kill. Their orders were kill young, kill old, kill everybody as with your rockets as fast as you can. And 2 of them were headed toward the place where we slept. They were seen. They were the first ones seen. Thank God. The Bible says, and in Hebrews, that nothing, let's turn to the book of Hebrews and read that. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You might not know that danger is approaching you, but he knows it.
Yeah.
The first time this word was quickened to me, we were in the Soviet Union about to make it was August 1980, and we were about to deliver some ink to the underground press. And I got up that morning knowing what we had to do, and I got scared. And the Lord quickened this scripture to me. There couldn't be any KGB agents following us that he didn't know about. And even though I couldn't see that, he could see it.
Yeah.
And that night as I wrote down, all is quiet, quiet evening. It wasn't a quiet evening. But even in our ignorance, thank God, he, the one with whom we have to do, we can trust him. And in our ignorance, plots, evil plots, terrible things can be hatched against you, but he knows about them and can foil them if you walk in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91, when we go to Israel, is our byword. We wouldn't get up and dare get up in the morning and leave without Psalm 91, and we'd had it that day. As the boats came toward the land, they captured them, you know, that nighttime and that next afternoon, and the word hadn't gotten out to the people exactly what had happened, so some of our people went walking on the Mediterranean shore, because Ulpan Akiva, where we stay, it's right on the Mediterranean Sea, and some of our people from Collinsville, from our own home church, they decided to take a walk down there on the shore. And as they walked, they saw the jeeps, you know, painted with the camouflage. And the husband said, you know, honey, I think that's military. I think there's some kind of maneuvers or something down here. And she said, oh, no, honey. She said, I think that's just some young kids in jeeps, and they've camouflage painted them like they do at home when they go duck hunting. So we live in a world over here that is Western thinking rules us. We don't think the Eastern way. And when our diplomats decide whether or not that is a terrorist activity and whether or not they're going to still continue to talk with Yasser Arafat and whether or not they're still going to recognize the PLO, the people of Israel, to them, they don't have to decide. They've been attacked from their shores. The orders were to destroy hundreds and even thousands on the beach. And so they want to exist. And their thinking is entirely different from our thinking. Our thinking is Western. Our thinking is, well, you can go and sit down at the table and talk to these people. But these people have as their very goal in life to push Israel into the sea, to destroy them completely. And Israel knows that they cannot talk with them. They cannot have talks, profitable talks with them. And so we see even a cleft coming sometimes between the United States and Israel. I hate to see it. It makes me cry. I want to take our diplomats and say, oh my goodness, don't you see this? Can you really believe that these PLO will keep the word? Can you really think that they'll just suddenly be good guys? I know they don't. They're not really. But we do see even in the Bible where it says that there's coming a day when they'll lose even their last friends. And so we rapidly see the changes. We rapidly see what God said would happen. We rapidly see it happen. Throughout the trip, in many places, and I want to tell you about the trip because the Bible tells us that watching Israel and watching the fig tree is watching the Moedim. It's watching the times. It's watching the seasons. It's watching the hour. God didn't say that the church was going to be the sign of his return, but he did say, watch the fig tree. I know, and I'm going to be telling you, we'll get down to the part where we visit the people who are getting ready for temple worship. They say things can happen suddenly in this land. And I know that things can happen suddenly in the church. It might not look like to you that the church is all ready for Jesus coming, but things can happen suddenly, and in 24 hours, God can have the church changed inside out. And suddenly, things are happening in this country. But throughout the trip, and I'm going to read you this just right here a little bit from my book, from my diary. In many places, and Shulamit, this Jewish lady we work with, referred to it in her inscription of a book, I stated that the biggest thing happening in the world, and I believe it, the biggest thing in the world is not the economic summit. The biggest thing in the world is not even the European community that's coming into being at the prophesied word of God. But the biggest thing that is happening in the world is the return of the Soviet Jews to the land. Just as God said they would return through the prophets, especially Jeremiah and Isaiah. Let's read about it just a little bit. Turn to Jeremiah 16. And I think I'm going to begin even before we get to that. We'll just quit wherever we are at the right time and we'll start again. Bless the Lord. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41 first. We're going to read Jeremiah 16, but go to Isaiah 41. My faith in God is growing by leaps and bounds. God's ability to pull it off. God's ability to straighten it out. Whether it's the world or your son, God will do it if you have faith in him. Because he's God. God is God. The greatest, 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 greatest thing I know is God is God. And that illumination came to me in the Soviet Union one day when we were preaching. We had preached one morning. We had gone to an underground church. You know, there are two different kinds of churches in the Soviet Union. There's the church that they let the world see, the registered church, where they tell them what to do. And then there's the underground church. In the underground church, they can preach what they want to preach. They can get as many souls saved as they want to get saved. In the churches that have government registration, it has been in the past that they tell you. We were told once by the church, I think it was in Leningrad. Leningrad is a city of 4.5 million people. The Baptist church, the only Baptist church they allowed to meet there, they allowed them to baptize 16 people. Only baptizing 16 people in a city of 4.5 million is not religious freedom. But they let those registered churches meet so that when diplomats from America came or people from America, they could take you to the registered church and show you that they had people in churches. And there was a move of God in those churches. You couldn't get away from it. It was real. They couldn't stop it. But we had gone that morning to an underground church. They have underground churches because in the underground churches, they can preach anything they want to. In the registered churches, they would not let you preach that Jesus was coming back again. and establish a kingdom on the earth. They didn't want to hear that. But in the underground churches, you can preach it. And so the underground church, we went to the underground church that morning, they had told us that morning, they said, now when you get up and go outside your hotel, there you're going to find three men who will lead you to the underground church. That's how you'll find it. So we went out on the streets, and there are millions and millions of people out on the streets just everywhere. It's not like it is here. We all in the cars. They're just out milling on the streets. But we see three people, and they're easy to, we didn't know what they looked like, but they were easy to recognize because they were smiling. No one else was smiling. They were smiling. And so we followed the three with smiles in it. And we followed them. We went down. We got on the subway. We rode a long way. Everybody on the subway is just looking straight ahead. What you don't see won't, what you don't know won't hurt you. You know, that's the idea they have over there. No smiles, no smiles. But three were smiling. And I thought, well, they're going to find us out if those guys don't stop that smiling. But they would smile, and then they would go. Now, that meant next stop, you know, something's going to happen. So they would get off the next stop. We would follow them. We changed another subway. Then we got on a train, rode a train a long way. We got off the train. It was snow. We walked in the snow, followed them in the snow, up to a house, an apartment, really. And that place was cram-jammed with people who were waiting for us to bring them the Word of God. Do you think that isn't something to a preacher? And there, they said, you know, the tallest man, he was the one, I just loved him. He was real, real tall, and he had the biggest smile. They said, he is not yet born again. He is the brother of one of our sisters here, and he doesn't like how the government treats us, but he's not a Christian. And I thought, oh, dear God, that man has got to be born again. I felt like I couldn't live if he wasn't born again. So I preached how to be born again, and we had about seven people born again, and that brother was born again. And then I preached how to be baptized the Holy Ghost, and we had about 20 people baptized the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized the Holy Ghost. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And when we came down out from those meetings, it seemed like I didn't even need to follow anybody. I didn't even need a train or a subway, it seemed like. And I was just floating in an anointing. An anointing is a dangerous thing sometimes. Because when you come out from under it, you wonder why you did what you did. And I came across there, and I floated that night. And that night we were going to a registered church. It was a registered Pentecostal church, but it was a registered church. And Jim Caseman said, you've got the anointing, you preach.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.